We're joined by Stephen Sanders, CEO of the Associated General Contractors. And Steve, we just spoke a couple of weeks ago, if that, about this PRO Act. And it's, I guess, sort of making its way through Congress, although maybe not in the fashion that you thought. Is that a fair assessment on my part?
Well, it's attempting to make its way through a process we didn't think it would. Yes, that is correct.
So what's happened in the last couple of weeks since we last talked?
Well, President Biden unveiled his broadly defined infrastructure program, and amongst the 25 pages of recommendations is that the enactment of the PRO Act be included as part of an infrastructure package.
So I guess the problem here is it won't be debated on its own merits or lack thereof, and probably in your opinion. But, you know, so when things get rolled up in these huge bills, I mean, the chance of someone taking up the a particular issue is pretty small.
Yeah. Now, I mean, here's the issue. So if the Democratic leadership in the Senate wants to pass this bill through the reconciliation process, which allows them to pass legislation without being subject to the filibuster, they're still going to have the challenge of the so-called Byrd Rule. And the Byrd Rule is named after Senator Robert C. Byrd, a late senator of West Virginia, who in devising the budget reconciliation rules made it clear that only issues that pertain to finances and the budget could be considered in a reconciliation package, and policy issues could not. And to give a good example of how that worked, in the last COVID relief bill that the Democrats passed through the Senate through this reconciliation process, there was an attempt to increase the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. And the Senate parliamentarian ruled that that was not directly related to budgetary and financial issues, and therefore was out of order and could not be part of the bill. So the question remains then, if there is an attempt to bring the PRO Act through the reconciliation process with an infrastructure package, will the Senate parliamentarian decide that the PRO Act is unrelated to budgetary matters and therefore can't be part of the bill?
And would that be your opinion?
Well, yes, it would, but I'm afraid my opinion really doesn't matter.
Right. But just kind of wanted to, so people understand it, you know, the tenor of our conversation. And I thought what was interesting is something you said about the PRO Act. And when you were talking about, you know, pro-union or un-union, whichever, I guess your feeling is it has the opportunity to hurt businesses on both sides of things.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's consider what this does briefly. So I would say there are three challenges with the PRO Act. The first is undermining an employee's right to make a fair choice as to whether or not they want to be union. And to that point, look at what happened in Alabama with Amazon last week, where the employees of that Amazon warehouse, by a significant margin, voted against having a union, and they were able to do it in a secret ballot election. So that's the one issue. The second issue is the PRO Act would allow picketing and strikes by union at any time and for any reason. So let's assume, it was the University of Virginia, or you're in Harrisonburg, JMU's opening football game. And the security guards at the stadium are unionized, and they decide that they're going to go on strike that day just to stick a needle in the eye of their employer. So you have to cancel the football game because the security guards at the stadium have gone on strike. So that's a problem that hits union and non-union employers the same. And then the third is what's called secondary boycotts, allowing secondary boycotts, where a union puts pressure on another employer not to do business with the employer that they have a conflict with or disagreement with. And the example I use there is you have a hospital. They use a laundry service that's non-union. The union that wants to represent those employees or wants to have a union firm do that work goes to the hospital and say, hey, you have to stop doing business with this laundry service. And the hospital's response is, we have a contract with them and we have to honor our contract. So the union puts a picket line out in front of the hospital and encourages the nurses union not to honor that picket line and not go to work. And then the hospital has the choice of do they breach their contract with this laundry service and pay whatever contractual damages that the laundry service would be owed, or do they try to work through a nurse's strike, essentially a nurse's strike, and compromise the care of the patients in that hospital? Well, I think it's probably they're going to choose to kick out the laundry service so that their nurses will come back to work. So these nurses aren't really involved in the dispute between the laundry service and the union that wants to represent their employees, but yet they would honor their picket line because another union has asked them to do that, and that causes problems for everybody else.
Virginia is one of the states where there would be a change, meaning right now, Virginia, one of, I want to say a little more than 25 states, I think, where workers have a choice.
Yeah.
That would change if the PRO Act were passed, correct?
Yeah, well, yeah, there are 27 so-called right-to-work states. Virginia is one of those 27 states. And a right-to-work state means that a union security clause that requires an employee as a condition of employment to pay union dues and fees is not enforceable in state court. What the PRO Act would do would say that those union security clauses can still be unenforceable in state court. However, any employee where there is a union present at that workplace will still need to pay what are known as agency fees to the union to support the negotiation and administration of the collective bargaining agreement. In other words, the theory is, the rationale for this is that the union is providing a benefit for that employee, and the employee should pay their fair share for that benefit. Now, one of the reasons a lot of workers who are in a union environment do not want to pay, in a right-to-work state, do not want to pay union dues and fees is because they don't want their money going to political candidates or political causes that they may personally disagree with. Essentially those fees that employee would be forced to pay, some of that money is going to end up, supporting political causes or candidates that are, contrary to the beliefs of that employee. Now, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, yeah, as a member of a union and you see these groups come out in favor of something, and I mean, you may or may not be in you may be in favor of having a union represent you at the bargaining table with your employer, but mm-hmm. I also didn't sign up for my union to say, hey, we support this particular candidate.
Right.
And I think that that's where it gets, you know, I don't need a political action committee that I'm paying dues to, you know,
right.
And I think
yeah.
that's where it gets kind of hairy for some folks as well.
I agree. Now, I should point out, you know, since our last conversation, that Senator Warner, who's one of only five Democrats in the Senate who has not co-sponsored the PRO Act, was interviewed earlier this week, and he made it known that he's got some reservations about the bill, and that's the reason why he's not a co-sponsor of the bill. So you know, the good news for those of us who have concerns about the PRO Act is that it appears that Senator Warner is giving this a hard look, and demonstrating that he wants to be thoughtful about this, and that gives I think the business community the opportunity to try to help him make that decision, as well as voters in Virginia who have a problem with the PRO Act to make their voices heard in his office.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, he's a guy who was in business. So it gives you an idea, someone who was in business, in the business sector, not talking about a lawyer or one of these other folks in Congress, but somebody who was in business, who's taking a look at this particular piece of legislation and saying, hold on, I have some questions, I'm not sure.
Correct. Yep. Absolutely.
Well, Stephen, I appreciate the information, appreciate the update. And I guess we'll see where it goes from here. And, I guess the question is, will it be separated out or will it just be lumped in, I think, right?
Well, yeah, time will tell. We'll see.
Well, I, again, appreciate the time very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your time, Cole. Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.